Welcome back to Locker Room Dads, hosted by myself, Pat O'Donnell, punter for the Green Bay Packers. Alongside me is my co-host, Josh Brinzo, brewery owner and father of two like myself. Today on the show, we have a friend, a lifelong friend, I would say. We played in Chicago together, but he is a long snapper. He was all pro last year. He went to the Pro Bowl. But most importantly, he is a father of two with one kid on the way. He is in studio right now. Without further ado, Andrew DePaul, everybody.
Let's go.
Can't beat that intro. I need to bring you everywhere, Pat.
Pat's a good hype, man.
I really do try, but having a specialist live in studio, this is going to be a great episode.
Love it. Love it.
So Andrew and me, we just got back from Hawaii, and he was the one that didn't have the kids, and he was watching from afar.
Oh.
You probably start there. We took the red eye back home. And Palmer was a complete nightmare in the airport. Like, there's no way around it. She was tired. She was exhausted. She missed the nap. But do you and Amy have any other plans? Go to another destination for your baby on the way here in May?
Man, no. And you know, it's funny because in the airport, coming back from Hawaii, we just really empathized with you guys and your situation because we've been there. I mean, we've been those parents. And you know, it's funny because nobody wants their kid to act right and stop screaming more than the parents of the child.
Yeah.
So like, we were just like, man, we just feel for you guys so much. And we were on the plane and it's like, don't worry about us, cause we're probably two people on the plane that like get your situation. So they could scream all they want. I'm going to put the noise canceling headphones on and just fade into my movie, you know? So, yeah, we felt for you guys, but with us, no, we've got, like I said, we've got the baby coming in May, early May. You know, we've got spring workouts starting in April. So I think for now, we're just going to kind of hunker down and get things set up.
So what does planning for a third child look like? Cause planning for a second was already a lot of work.
So we've talked to some of our friends that have three kids and kind of tried to get some insider info from them. We've heard it's not that bad. You know, we've heard the jump from one to two is probably the biggest one. Two to three is like a little bit easier just cause you kind of already know some things to expect. Like for us personally, though, we're in a two-bedroom townhome right now. We actually had to upgrade, so we just bought a house to make some more space for the kids and the new baby and all of the stuff that comes with kids. So that's kind of what our current situation looks like on that end.
I feel like that's the hard part, right? That's probably harder than the childcare.
Probably.
The upgrade.
Yeah.
Find what fits. New car in there, too.
Yep. We also got a new car. We traded in my wife's Jeep. And we went with the Ford Expedition.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
Yeah, we need that third row, which is nice because in the Ford Expedition they've got the latch hooks in the third row. Mm. They have two sets of latch hooks, so that's super cool. Awesome.
It's the features that you didn't know existed in a car until you had a kid.
Oh yeah,
I've heard multiple people say the reason why they bought that is because of the third row latch hooks.
Absolutely, and that's exactly why we bought it. So just to kind of that ease of use to snap in and snap out. But it's funny, you know, as a early 20, mid 20 year old buying a new car, some of those features you just gloss over. You're like,
how many horsepower?
Yeah, this doesn't look cool. Is it my color? Yeah. But like now you really get into it. Like, you know, how many airbags? What's the safety rating? Does it have the blind side monitoring? So it's just funny how your things change as you have a family.
At least you stuck with somewhat of a cool car. Josh was
Would you get a minivan?
I
it's a dope minivan though. It has like every bell and whistle on it, TVs, like captain seats, they slide up. It's amazing, but I'm not ready for it. Josh is ready for it. You're clearly not.
Actually, my rebuttal, I respect that because I tried to talk my wife into getting a minivan and she was like, absolutely not. No way. She just wouldn't. So I'm just more of like a you know, like form over
practical.
Yeah, yeah, practical, I guess you could say. Okay. And then just like a minivan, just it checks all the boxes.
It does.
So I was like, this is gonna be amazing. And she was just like, I'm not gonna be a minivan mom. And I'm like, okay, you just made this a lot harder for me, but all right, let's go and find the car you like. So
well, the good part about the car that you bought is that you can literally pack it to the gills, ship it to Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
It's home for you guys, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yep. Yep, that'll be nice. That'll be nice.
A lot of people don't realize that. They think like, oh, you have homes and this and that, but you have to have two of everything, especially the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think I own four cribs. I own four cribs and probably 12 pack and plays.
That's crazy.
I don't even know why I have them.
That's a lot.
I acquired it from other people. I have them here. And then Shelby bought another two. And I'm like, for the love of God, don't need another pack and play.
Hey, you never know.
Well, so that's the thing, right? So I'm assuming you guys probably have a pack and play at you know, the grandparents' house. You probably got a pack and play here. You've got a pack and play in Green Bay. If you go somewhere,
traveling pack and play, a home pack.
Yeah.
You know, there's different sizes. They're all not created.
Right. Right. And then it's funny because like you'll have friends who are done having kids and then they're like, oh, here. And you're like, no, I don't need or want this anymore. But like, you just kind of have to take it. I don't
know. Yeah. You can't say no.
Grow up and we'll
We didn't clean up. Yep. Here you go.
Yep.
Crusty, like opening up. Like,
yep.
So speaking of people being done having kids, is three it? Or are we still rolling?
I don't know. My wife, her pregnancies are pretty rough on her. And when I say pretty rough, I mean very. She's been very nauseous the entire time. She has a little sleep insomnia right now. So she's not sleeping, which that'll really mess you up pretty good. I think that decision is going to be more up to her than anything else. So we'll see. Yeah. We don't know. I don't think the door's closed, but I don't think it's really wide open either.
I think Josh is bringing this up because he has a huge procedure coming up, Masters Week.
Yeah.
Just so happened, right?
It did. Listen, I did not know that it was Masters Week when I scheduled this.
What do we got? What's going on?
I'm getting snipped. April 7th.
Getting snipped. Yeah. Wow. Congrats. Yeah, good for you.
I'm not looking forward to it because I don't want to go in for a surgery, but I don't really care about getting it done. So.
So like, can we talk about like what that surgery entails? Like,
yeah, I mean,
like, I don't mean we don't have to go into full like anatomy details, but like recovery, how long you have to be off your feet. If you have to be off your feet.
I mean, I have been told from a lot of people, like Mark Mariani came on, told us, right. It was Mariani. He told us, it was easy. And he played golf a couple days later. And I was like, well, I thought it'd be a couple weeks.
That's kind of what
my wife's cousin, he had it done. He's like, oh, you're good. Like, don't even worry about it. So I guess it's not that bad, but they do say you have to wear some support because if you don't, there's a chance you can actually make things a lot worse, which sounds really bad.
Mm.
So that's like what kind of has me up in the air about it. But
So briefs, not boxers.
Yeah.
Job strap.
Both. They call it a scrotal support. It is a real thing.
Did we have to
order one. Yep. I haven't ordered it yet. I got to do that. But
what doesn't
scrotal support. Yeah. That's it.
Huh.
Yeah. So
good.
Get that done. It looks like a jock strap. Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
nothing in the back.
Nothing.
Hammock in the front.
Yeah.
Different sizes.
Strong support. Yeah. So I got to order that. And then I know I'm being put under, which not a lot of people are put under for it.
Okay.
So that's fun.
All right.
I'm in the 1% of people that gets put under.
You're like, no, sir, you don't have to.
I actually did not have a choice this time. They were like, sorry, that's how it is. You're getting put under, which I'm okay with.
Does it vary by doctor about who puts you under and who doesn't?
Yeah, they told me, this will be a good quote for the show, that I have large tubes. So
big tubes guy.
I have to be put under though, and I was preferring that because when they're explaining the procedure, they said that you could feel a pulling sensation, which doesn't sound appealing.
Oh, I don't know if I'm
especially with huge tubes.
Yeah,
a lot of pulling there.
Yeah, so then you have to like go in for checkups like 3 months and 6 months afterwards.
I want you to document this whole thing and share with our followers. Maybe Instagram page, what you're doing day one, ice pack on the nuts.
Listen, I'm
day two,
live streaming. I'm live streaming.
You stretch that.
I don't know what recovery looks like. I'll be watching a lot of golf.
But there you go.
That's enough. That's good recovery.
Yeah.
But I'm going to transition real quick because Andrew does have huge news. He just opened a bagel shop in the midst of about to have a kid, got a new house, new car, bagel shop.
Bagel shop.
Let's talk about it.
Dig into it.
Name of it is DePaula's Bagel and Brunch. We are located in Chester, Maryland on Ken Island. It was my wife's idea, actually. She had been saying that area needed something like that for a while. So we were brainstorming and we were like, let's just do it ourselves. Like, let's do it. Yeah. And we thought about maybe starting, you know, putting a chain there. And then I had talked with my dad, who has a bar restaurant, about it. And we had kind of thrown some ideas out there, written some stuff down. And we came up like, well, let's just start our own place. So I was like, all right, let's do it. We jumped in. We just opened our doors in January. And it's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun, to say the least. Yeah.
But when he tells, Andrew's very modest, when he tells these stories, like, he's like undercover boss when he goes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's in the back, like, doing the dough, learning how to make the bagels. And these people are, like, in the back, like, the kids, right? They're like, who is this guy? Does he work here? Is he just, like, an intern? Like, who's this guy?
Yeah, I walked in. I think it was, like, my first or second day ever going in. My first day going in, I just went in and ordered and sat down and just kind of watched everything.
See how it works.
You know, just see what people were doing, how the flow works. And then, like, my second day in, I walk into the back, and I walk around, and I go in the kitchen. And then, like, I see one of our cooks, like, looking at me, like, who is that? Like, why is he back here? Why is he touching everything? Like, what's he doing? This guy's lost apparently. So, and even now I'll go in and people don't work there. The people that don't work there regularly will like see me and I'll like kind of walk in the back and dip my head in. And they're like, no, you can't be back here. I'm like, ah, it's okay. I know the owner. but it's definitely, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you find it stressful starting your own business?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot that goes into it.
Absolutely. And there's more. I mean, for me, there was more that went into it that I didn't initially plan for. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I knew we were going to have hiccups. We're going to have roadblocks. We were going to have delays. I just didn't know some of the other things that were going to pop up that were just like, oh boy. All right.
Yeah. We went through that when we opened the brewery. We were like so close to the finish line and we're like, man, it's kind of hot in here. Oh, well, AC is 30 grand and got to fix that before you can open.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
There's little things that sneak up.
Yes. Yes, there is.
What's been the hardest part so far?
The hardest part? The hardest part, I would say, is just knowing how much food to have on hand. Mm-hmm. People will come in and just like, they'll have a run of like chicken salad or a certain bagel that we just didn't plan on having like a run on. And we're like, okay, well, now we're sold out of that. And it's not even 10:30. And I think like with my parents, they're kind of looking at it as like, I'm like, okay, we sold out. That's a good thing. Like, yeah. You know, we sold out. We maximized our profit for the day. But they're kind of looking at it as like we're losing money because we don't have more to sell. So I think just knowing how much food to have on hand has kind of been the hardest part. And that's probably going to be probably a year or two before we figure that out, really.
So what's the most popular bagel?
Everything.
I'm always everything.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Everything bagel. Yes. Yeah. I'd say like if – after you get everything in plain, our most popular bagel would be, man, I think maybe Asiago bagel or like a jalapeno cheddar is pretty popular. Mm-hmm. And cinnamon raisin. We actually do a really good French toast bagel. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Do you guys cater to the celiacs?
Unfortunately, we do not. And I looked into that. I really did. I was like, okay, because... gluten-free people with celiacs, like I definitely want to be like, let's offer something. But if you do gluten-free, if you do it right, the way you're supposed to do it, you need gluten-free trays. Like gluten does not touch the tray. You need a gluten-free mixing bowl. Mm-hmm. You need a gluten-free mixer. You need a gluten-free former that forms the dough. You need gluten-free one of those. And I'm like, I can't just buy double of everything. So we don't do gluten-free.
I got you.
That's a hard one to cater to.
It is. It is. And we've talked about some different ways to maybe be able to offer a gluten-free, maybe gluten-friendly, maybe not gluten-free, but gluten-friendly. I don't know. We'll kind of play with that a little bit more here as we go along.
I love it. These are the questions like as I always aspire. I look at you guys and I'm like, when do I want to own something like that? You two are sitting right here.
You will.
Own a brewery, and now you own a breakfast place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
If you ship bagels, we might have to ship some down here.
We're looking into that too.
So the next question I want to get into is you just went through the free agency process. We talked about Hawaii, multiple teams interested.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when to jump to a team? Because you were with Minnesota. You love them. Awesome. Obviously, the report cards came out for your club, and you guys were like A++ through the board. And I think that's really important. at the stage of your career, you know, with a family and things like that, for all the people that are listening that don't really understand how free agency works and what you look for, just walk us through, like, what was important for you and Amy, I guess, throughout the free agency process.
Yeah, great question. So, like, the simplest answer I can give, which is kind of how I've approached a lot of things in my life, is, like, I have just learned to really listen to my gut. I think with your head, you can kind of talk yourself in and out of things. Yeah. You can kind of make yourself believe stuff that's not there. So I really had to just, like, go with my gut and listen to what my gut was telling me. And me personally, it was to be back in Minnesota. Now, there are numerous reasons why I wanted to be back there. As you said, the free agency report cards came out. Obviously, we got A's, which I agree with all those grades. It's definitely a great facility. The people there are awesome. The owners are dedicated to winning and spending money to win, which is great. Not only that, Kevin O'Connell, our head coach, amazing guy to play for, really understands it from a player's perspective, but also kind of lets you know, like, hey, I've got to push you guys a certain amount. So let's kind of do a little bit of give and take here. Mm-hmm. Matt Daniels, awesome young special teams coach who probably will be a head coach one day, but he's been amazing to work with and just collaborate with. He gives me the freedom to kind of be myself, be my best self, and trust me, puts a lot of trust in me to kind of help him while also he helps me at the same time. And my guys, Greg and Ryan, just being back playing with them again, having that cohesiveness, which, you know, goes a long way for specialists. We do a lot of non-verbal talking on the field. So just kind of being with somebody that kind of knows what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, or why you did something goes a long way. And for me, that was huge. And then football side over here, family side, which now is another part of my equation of free agency. Kids are in school in Minnesota. We know the area we want to live in. We know the restaurants. We know where to get a haircut. We know the babysitters.
They're such small things, but such important things.
I don't know if small is the right word, but important without a doubt. I mean, those things were huge going into our decision. Cause, like, you know, you get to a new town and it's like, okay, well, now we got to find a babysitter. Yeah. Now we got to find a pediatrician. Now we got to find a pediatric dentist, yeah, OB, like one. Amy, OB delivering the baby.
Was that part of the reason too?
Yes, without a doubt, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, she's got her practice out there in Minnesota that she has. She has her practice that she uses back in Maryland. So obviously in Maryland we're set, but it's like Minnesota, we already have those things in place. So that's kind of what plays into this decision when you're going through free agency. And you know, it's not easy, but this is stuff that you really have to think about as a player that I think fans don't really see. They don't see that side.
And now for the first time, you guys are actually not going to reveal the gender.
Mm-hmm.
So your third one, you're not doing gender.
Yep.
So yep. That's something.
Pulling like a Pat.
Yeah. You know me, like, obviously. So what motivated you guys not to figure out the sex of your third?
I wanted to do it from the first one. I wanted to do it with Grace. I wanted to do it with Drew. Amy's just not that kind of person. Like, she needs to, like, know and be able to plan. But I think now that we're on number three, we have a boy and a girl. We have everything we need for a boy and a girl, clothes and toys and everything. It was a little bit easier to convince her, like, hey, let's just keep this one a surprise. And for her, I think that's kind of like, okay, you know what? You're right. Fine. Let's keep it a surprise. But for me, it's like one of the last big build up anticipation surprises that we have in life. So I was like, I want to experience that. I want to, like, just be like, I so just don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, what's funny is because I haven't talked to someone who says we regret not finding out. Like, you hear like, oh, I kind of wish we didn't find out. Like, that's all I hear. So, like, I'm glad we're doing it this way too.
Have you guys had a moment where the technician of the ultrasound, did they slip? Because sometimes
Pat had a mishap, you know, come up.
And, like, sometimes you take it as the Bible and you're like, whoa, you said he?
We dug deep for you guys when there was a slip up.
Oh, yeah. We had a conference call with, like, a couple of our close friends. Shelby was literally about to click into the portal to know the sex. And we're talking, we had 4 weeks left.
Oh my God, you're right there.
But it was in her head all day long. She couldn't get it out.
No. And it's funny you bring that up because that happened to us with Grace. So we went in for the ultrasound before we had known the sex. And the tech was just saying he, him, he, him, he, him. And we're like, hey, like, just so you know, we're not finding out. Like, we kind of dropped that hint. And then I think she kind of understood what we were getting at. And she was like, I use he, him just as a general reference to babies. Like, I'm not saying it's a boy and I'm not saying it's a girl. I just say like him, he, and I don't know why that was her default. So Amy got it in her head that we were having a boy. She was like, no, that was a slip up. Like, we're having a boy.
Yep.
And obviously we had a girl for the first one, but yeah, we had one of those moments and it was just like, uh-oh.
I wish we had a technician to talk about their perspective of this.
Yes.
I hate these people that trying to make my job so much harder. Yes. It's like, they have to divulge that baby is healthy. Baby, he, him, like, I'm going to use this to say he, him, mm-hmm. as babies. They probably hate us people that go in there like, we don't want to know. We're waiting. Like, oh, it's our first kid. Like, oh, you're so cute.
That would be interesting to get that perspective on it because do you know? Because I don't. Do you know if they put something on your chart? Like, hey, they don't want to know, or no, don't tell the sex, or just something like that? Yes. Because
they have to.
You think so?
I feel like they do. Because otherwise, they just spill the beans so fast, right?
Yeah.
So many people that read those charts and come in and out of the room, and someone would just say
Big practices. I mean, in Green Bay is smaller, smaller population of people. But like in Jupiter, where we are right now, like you probably have hundreds of people like, delivering at any moment, like,
oh yeah. And it's funny because Amy's dying, like, she wants to know the sex, and you get that email that says like the like results with sex or results without the gender, like
two buttons.
Two little downloads. And Amy's just, she opened her phone, she goes, look,
she's right, like, hovering
right here, I can find out right now. And I'm like, nope, put it down.
You know what's crazy is that there are a lot of dads that I talk to who are like, I knew the sex, your mother waited. Or like vice versa, like, I couldn't wait. But I'm like, could you keep a secret like that from your significant other? Like, in talking in general? Because sometimes at night, like, pillow talking, like, oh, I wonder what he or she will be like, or you talk about names. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could actually keep a secret from them?
I could, I think.
Yeah?
I know Amy could not, so that's why, like, because she was like, all right, what if I just find out and you stay surprised? I'm like, I'm okay with that, but I know you can't keep it a secret. Because she'll definitely just drop it, like, in conversation. Or she'll hold it over me, like, I know what we're having. I'm like, okay, oh well. I could. If that's what she really wanted, like, I want to find out, but she want to be surprised, I could find out and I could keep that secret. Now, would I want to? Probably not.
What about you, Josh?
No, I can't. No way.
Really?
Flat out, I wouldn't be able to. Like, if I knew, Aaliyah would know. If Aaliyah knew, she would tell me right away, too.
Mm. You should, like, buying clothes, like, kids' clothes, like, in a certain gender. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, hey.
Like, would you just, like
no, I just burst? No, I just flat out tell her.
You just sit in there and be like, hey, honey, how's your day? Boy.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Excuse me?
I'd just be sweating bullets. I can't hold it back. And that's how I am with gifts, too. I'll be like, hey, I know Christmas, like, 2 weeks, but here's your gift. I'm so bad.
How'd you propose?
I can't hold it. No, I mean, she knew it was coming, but it was in Paris, France. At least it was, like, a cool proposal.
Cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was cool. But
you didn't just get the ring and drive over and be like, hey, I want to.
No, I mean, it was, like, the day we landed it happened, so. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Didn't wait very long.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You didn't make yourself suffer.
No.
Like, wait till, like, the last day of a week-long trip. Why are you acting so weird? Like, the whole trip.
Why are you even standoffish? Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's too much.
But I'm glad you brought up gifts. I want to talk to Andrew about push presents.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So push presents are gifts that I was informed when your wife is about to...
Who informed you?
My brother-in-law.
Mm.
Like, do you know what a push present is?
Yeah, who informed me? My wife. That's how I found out.
What, I mean, was it subtle? Was she like, this is what I want? Or
no, she said, are you getting me a push present? And I said, I don't even know what that is. No clue. I had never heard of it.
Did you research it or did she just tell
you?
Yeah,
I looked it up. I mean, I had no clue what it was, though. I mean, I didn't even know if that was a real thing or if she was just trying to get a free gift. Which, I mean, hey, good for her. She's that creative enough. But, yeah, no clue.
Wow.
Did you guys exchange push presents?
No. No, I'm not.
She
like,
give you a push present.
I did not get a push present. Her,
your pushing was the present.
I think, yeah, her, what came out was the present. And I was like, Josh, I didn't know that was like a real thing. Like, I thought it was a joke when someone brought it up. And I was like, wait, is this like real? Like, I really had to like do a little bit of research and be like, is this expected? But no, I haven't gotten a push present yet. I don't know if I should. I don't know if people are going to be mad that I haven't.
Yeah.
We've got a, yeah. Okay. That's good. Yep. There you go.
Those are good.
3 for 3.
So is the new car going to be hers though?
New car's hers. Yep.
Oh, then yeah. Call it that.
Yep. Yep.
That's exactly how it played out. We got the GMC, like the big truck.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, that's yours. Like, that's yours. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this is not mine. Like, why do I need this huge car? Obviously, I ended up hers. So, good for you, man. You already
plan that out.
Well, I mean, you know, we're going back and forth to the facility. We don't have the kids in the car all the time. You know, more likely than not, Amy, my wife, is going to have the kids in the car. So, she needs the bigger vehicle.
Yeah.
I don't need something that large. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the same for you guys.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
But you actually triggered a question that I had in my head. Imagine bringing just one of your kids to work with you.
Okay.
Like, do you think you would get anything done productive? Like, how hard do you think it would be?
Like, if they were with me the whole time?
The whole time.
Oh, it'd be super hard.
Practice, meetings, even lunch would be chaotic.
I dare say impossible. I dare say impossible. Because, you know, I'd get there. And like, let's just say we're in, you know, meetings. And let's just say we're not in the big special teams meeting. We're in like the little meetings you go in with coach. And right, she'd just be drawing on the dry erase board, which is cool. She's drawing on the dry erase board. But then it's like, hey, we've got a play drawn up there, honey. Like, you might need to, like, daddy, I'm bored. Like, I want to watch Cocomelon. I want to watch whatever other show. She's Masha and the Bear is her favorite one. So it's just like, no, honey, we have to go down and I have to go work out now. Or I have to go to lunch. She's like, oh.
Before we get into that TV show, I do want to talk about, do you think this is what our parents went through when it was like, take your kid to work day?
Mm. 100%.
Ooh, I never thought about that.
100%.
Wow.
Remember, you're like, oh my gosh, you get to go to work with my
dad. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever go with mom or dad?
No. No.
Okay. Josh?
I did. My dad took me. He was like some accounting role. And he set me up in the conference room with my N64, so I wouldn't bother him.
Good dad move.
Yeah, I just hung out there all day. It was awesome. I totally understand it. When I was a kid, I was like, you're not hanging out with me today?
Uh-huh.
No, you're good. Get your game up and everything. Now I'd do the same move all day long. I wouldn't even think twice.
Oh, yeah.
I went with my mom one time, and like I remember specifically there was a vacant like room just full of, I think they moved cubicles and it was like a vacant, and I literally played in there all day and I collected like paper clips and thumbtacks, and she like put me on like a mindless task to like just go pick up all this so she could work. Now I'm like, I applaud you, mom.
Was smart. Yeah. She thought it out.
A1 mom move right there.
Jeez. That's good.
But if you want to get into the shows that your kids love,
yes.
Disney movies. Everyone knows Josh. Huge
Disney
fan.
Good.
He was supposed to go to Orlando this weekend. I don't know if it's
fell apart. We don't know.
Disney's like, we don't want you.
Oh, they want you.
Yeah, they want
you. They want you.
Yeah, what are the kids watching?
My daughter, she likes the show, like I said, Masha and the Bear. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's one of the better ones. My son is big into Cocomelon now. He just will say, Coco, Coco, points to the TV.
Cocaine for kids.
That's great. I've never heard that said, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And then my daughter will bounce back and forth. Like, she likes PJ Masks. Mm. She likes Spidey and Friends. Mm.
Those are good ones.
And then, like, movies, she's really big into Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Moana, and oh man, what's the house one, the magic house
Encanto
one? Encanto, that one. Yeah, those are like the big like four.
Yeah, five. That was an easy one.
Sorry.
I love that one.
So yeah, and I love when she watches the Disney movie, because like you can kind of reminisce a little bit and you enjoy it a little bit too. And it's kind of crazy because as a kid you don't realize how much you miss in a Disney movie until you become an adult and you're like, they put that joke in there? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's geared towards parents.
It is. They got some like little like audience. That's good. I like that. But yeah, they're, you know, the Disney movies I think are fun to watch. The kids' shows get a little beat you over the head, but
yeah, we recently have been on a kick of like YouTube videos of bath bombs. Billy loves bath bombs, and every day she just wants to watch videos of bath bombs.
What?
I can't stand it, man. The videos.
Wait,
they
I
just
thought...
like they'll throw like 100 bath bombs in, stuff like that.
Oh, I thought you meant like when she was in the bath, she watched.
Well, no, she loves a good bath bomb, but she wants to watch YouTube videos of people just throwing bath bombs in water, like hundreds of them.
How crazy is it that our kids are already watching things like that?
I know.
My nephews like watch people play video games, like stream. I'm like, bro, you have a console.
Right? You're like, go play.
Yeah.
You could play online and play against other people. No, no, he's good. I want to watch him. I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Are we at that age now where I'm like, I don't get this generation already?
No, and definitely not. Because I know me growing up, when it came to like playing video games or like watching kids do something, I was like, hey, let's just go out and play basketball. Let's go out and throw the football. Like, let's go invent a new game on the tennis court. Like, why are we playing video games? Like, let's just go do it. You know? So I was more of like, let's get outside. Let's move around. Let's do it that way. Whereas like, I just didn't get the whole thing of like, let's watch someone do something. I'd rather just do it.
Josh, you have any perspective?
Just do
on
it.
This?
No, I like I that. No. Video game, guys. No. Right no, 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 no. I don't want to watch people play a game though. I can't get into it. Like the streaming thing, I just don't get it. Like
no, you pay money and you tip him to make sure. Yeah,
yeah. Why would I do that? Yeah, people. Wait. They literally tip people on the stream. Yeah, I swear.
So you tip the guy playing, the person watching tips the guy. The person playing?
Yep.
Not the other way around? Like, thanks for watching?
No.
$10, like $10.
What?
Yeah. That's what I don't get.
Wait, why do you tip them?
Because they're good. I don't know. It's like when you have a good waiter, you tip them.
Yeah. It didn't make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Weird generation.
Okay.
Zoomers.
We'll leave it at that. Josh, any other questions before we wrap this up with Andrew?
Yeah, you know what? We always talk on our podcast about a good tool, a good toy, something for a kid. For Pat, he's a Duna stroller guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always about the Snoo. The Snoo's great. What's like your one saving grace?
Two grand slams right there. I mean, we have the Duna, so we're big on the Duna. My sister and brother-in-law had the Snoo, and then it kind of worked out. They were done with it when we had our son Drew, so they let us borrow it. So we've actually bought a Snoo for a new baby. But like coming up with my own answer, I think for us, Tony Box. You guys know the Tony Box?
No.
Is this the one with the toys?
So it's that little like music box that you put the character on top. And it plays like the music from like the character. So you put in like a Mirabelle and it plays like the Encanto music.
That's pretty cool.
Put in like a bell, like from Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
And it plays like the songs from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, wow.
For our daughter, it's been a game changer because we just put her in a room at night and now she's like, okay, I want to listen to Cinderella. I want to listen to Masha and the Bear. I want to listen to Encanto. Like, and she just does it herself. She just picks out a character, puts it on, turns up the volume and like lays in her bed and falls asleep. It's amazing.
It's a great idea.
It's amazing. Look into them. It's great.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. I got to think of something. It's a million-dollar idea. Come on.
But, Andrew, this has been awesome.
It's been fun.
Your wisdom. Kid 3 on the way.
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota. House, car, new bagel shop. Life is good for you.
The American
life
dream.
Is expensive.
Life is expensive, but hey. Can't die with it.
Can't take it with you.
That's right.
Can't die with it, right? No, can't take it with you.
Can't take it with you. You can die with it, but you just can't take it with you.
Put it on the bagel shop.
It's all going to the bagel shop and the kids. Yeah.
Plain bagels, everything bagels. Make plenty of chicken salad.
Chicken salad. So what's that? I learned today. Yep.
Pat's already planning his next venture out.
Restaurateur.
He's a mogul.
I better get a shirt, by the way.
Oh, that's what I forgot to bring down. I didn't know I was going to see you on this trip, but definitely. I'll send some out there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll send you some DePaul's bagel shirts. Yeah. Cool.
We'll do a swap.
I like that.
A little jersey swap.
Dad swap.
Dad swap. Yes. That's our new thing.
But I'll close this out. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on Locker Room Dads. For everyone out there, thank you for listening. Never know who we're going to have on next. Until next time, guys. Later.